Good morning. It's always a pleasure to be here and an honor to break open the Word. It was in, May of 1992, I think we started having our first home meetings at Ford and Sarah's with the intention of planting the church. And then in the fall of 1992, we purchased this building. And I was coming out regularly for that first year. The intention was to eventually turn things over and have Pastor Ford lead the church. And that transition took place suddenly in December of 1993 because I had a head injury. And I was suddenly out of commission. I was pretty much laid up for the better part of a year, year and a half, 3 years total in the recovery state. Pastor Ford stepped in at that time, did a fantastic job, led the church for many years, and really laid a great foundation. So much has been invested here. The prayers of the saints, in some ways, we're seeing fruitfulness from decades, literally decades of prayer for this region, and we're going to see greater fruitfulness in the days to come. I just want to start with a couple of testimonies. Number one, two things I think that a lot of you have been tracking, some of you may not be familiar with. By the way, Chris and Lori Miller, it is great to see you. Ford and Sarah's daughter and son-in-law and children, and it's great to see you. I don't get to see you enough. Fantastic. Two testimonies you might be tracking with. One is that we've been in the process of purchasing a building in Canton, purchasing 25 Court Street, a restaurant, formerly a restaurant known as the Club. And on Friday afternoon at 3:15, Jamie and I went over to Community Bank in Potsdam and signed the papers, and we now own the building. So it finally happened. That was like a long process. We actually put in the purchase contract in early July. So it was a very long process. We need continued prayer there because although we now own the building, we don't have permission to use it. And so we've got a zoning issue going on. This Wednesday night, Jamie will appear before the Zoning Board of Appeals to plead his case, our case further, and perhaps get an answer from them. So continue to pray there. Second testimony, a lot of you have been tracking and praying for my grandson, Jackson Paladin. Jackson was diagnosed a little over 2 years ago with a bone marrow disease, aplastic anemia. I had never heard of it, and a very, very serious bone marrow issue. Prior to the 1970s, when they started developing technology, it was considered to be 100% fatal. And so very, very serious. I'd never heard of it before. I couldn't imagine what is aplastic anemia. And so he's been struggling with that. Treatments didn't do great during the first 2 years. So in the fall, in September, he had a bone marrow transplant, which he received from his brother Gabe. And for a while, it didn't look like the transplant took. And so then mid-November, during the week of prayer that we had at that time, suddenly it was like Jackson's numbers just started changing. We started to see that week that we were praying together before Thanksgiving. Some of you remember that. It was like suddenly he had a better report out of nowhere, even though that everything had been just kind of like holding steady at a very kind of a critical phase. He started to get better and has gotten slowly better. This last week he had a report. His blood platelet number, some of you might not know medical numbers, they meant nothing to me 2.5 years ago, was 36,000. Normal is 150,000 to 300,000. His were finally up out of the low 3,000, 4,000 range. He was up to 36,000 a week ago, and this week he tested at 53,000, which is absolutely fantastic. I thank God for that. So thank you for praying. Continue to pray for him. The word of the Lord over Jackson this whole time has been continually that the hand of the Lord is upon him. There's a call of God upon his life. And in spite of over 50 transfusions, blood and platelet now, we're believing God for a long life and productive ministry for him and just the hand of God. So continue to pray. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to share something with you this morning that I felt like God put on my heart when we were at the prayer meeting this past Wednesday night at the building down the road on Route 11. And so I'm going to, I just felt impressed to the Lord. As we were in worship Wednesday night, I just started kind of getting a little bit of a download and started, scribbling. These are my notes for today. And just kind of scribbled things down Wednesday night. And I felt like I was asking the Lord, what's it for? And I really felt like the Lord said, this is what I was to share today. So I'm going to trust that it's a timely word for you individually. But also, I believe it's something that has the potential for affecting the culture of the church and will affect those whom God brings in the days to come. So let's pray with that expectation that really the Lord wants by his word to affect us individually, but also to affect us corporately. Father, I thank you. I thank you for what you want to do. Lord, we're not here today as a matter of routine or simply some religious ritual where we mark the passing of each week by attendance at a religious service. We're here today because we are the people of God. And Lord, you are at work in us. And Lord, we're here today to gather in your presence to worship you because we've been called as worshipers, they who worship in spirit and in truth. And we're gathered here today hungry for your word because your word is transformative. Lord, your word is life. Your word is bread. Lord, your word is alive. It's living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so, Lord, I pray not that my words would affect our lives today, but that your word would affect our lives. Lord, that you would transact something in us individually, but also for us corporately, that we might be that city that's set upon a hill. Lord, that lamp that is not meant to be under a bushel. Father, I pray that you would do something profound by your Spirit. Anoint your word today, I pray. Amen. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 14, may be a familiar passage to you, particularly verse 17. We're going to read verses 14 through 17. We're going to pick it up somewhat in the middle of the train of thought. Paul's talking about the gospel. He's talking about the power of Christ. In verse 14, he says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." I want to reread verses 16 and 17. "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh." I want to ask you a question today, and this is a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer this. The question is, who's sitting around you? Who's sitting in front of you today? Who's sitting next to you today? Who's sitting behind you today? "Therefore, we know no one, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." I felt, as I said Wednesday night, the Lord just put it on my heart. We know no man, we regard no man according to the flesh. Paul articulates here a great spiritual divide. The spiritual divide is between those who are in Christ and those who are not in Christ. It's a clear demarcation. Now, we can't always see it ourselves. Sometimes we're like, I'm not always sure. I heard what they said, but are they really a follower of Jesus? I don't always know. I'm telling you, God knows. God knows who are his, even if I don't know. And there's a clear divide. And he says here, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. When you come to Christ, you don't simply adopt a new set of beliefs. You don't simply adopt a new set of morals. You don't simply start changing your life a little bit and going to church on Sunday morning instead of going to the bar on Saturday night. There are changes that happen, but that's not really what it's all about. At the heart of it, when you come to Christ, there is a profound transaction. You are translated out of one kingdom into another kingdom. You are translated from death to life. When you become a Christian, you don't simply become a decent person who gets a little better. You become a dead person you're translated from a dead person who becomes alive. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. I remember hearing Pastor Tom Wells speak on this years ago, and he basically said this. He said there's a profound difference between Homo sapien without Christ and a Homo sapien in Christ. They're totally different animals. They're totally different things. They're different creatures. Now, what I felt like the Lord wanted to, in a sense, have me share on today is this. One of the beautiful things about fellowship is that we get to know each other. I like the closeness of our congregations here and in the other churches. Really fantastic. We get to know each other. That's one of the privileges of walking together in Jesus. We get to know people and we're known of them. You know, I feel like I'm good friends with so many of you. And I just, you know, when I come here on a Sunday morning, occasionally it's like family reunion for me. I feel like the kid who's coming home for Thanksgiving weekend. You know what I mean? That's just the way I feel. It's family and we're close and there's a proximity. Sometimes proximity and closeness can cause us to lose sight of who we're really with. And I want to say something to you. When I come to this place, I'm not just meeting with some people I love, some people I'm dear to, people who love me. I'm here with King's kids. I'm here with new creation. I'm here with people who have been translated out of darkness into his marvelous light. I'm here with people who were dead and now they're alive. I'm here with people who have the call of God upon their lives. I'm here with people who are God's plan A for planet Earth. If you continue reading in 2 Corinthians 5, that's what Paul says. We are ambassadors. You are plan A. You're not plan B. You're not plan C. You're not an afterthought. God's intention was that through the church, the wisdom of God would be manifest. You are plan A. You are God's people. You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. Well, you knew that. God, the word of God says that something has happened when we came to Christ. Now, I love the familiarity we have. And that's an important part of fellowship. But I don't want to let that familiarity eclipse my eyes from seeing that I've got men and women in front of me right now, men and women around me who have the call of God upon my life, and I want to remind them of that. I want to remind you, and I want you to remind me. You know, when I walk in this building, hi, Brother Rick, it's great to see you. How you been? That's good. But I want you to say to me, Brother Rick, you got the word for us today? Because the anointing of God is on you. He's called you to preach. He's called you to be used in this hour. He wants to do something with you. You know, we have Brother Mike coming and sharing on a regular basis. I think, Bob, you're sharing as well, somewhat regularly. When they stand up to share, I want you to know it's not just Mike. God's called this man. There's an anointing on him. God wants to do something. And we can approach the ministry of the church with that kind of expectation. I was thinking the worship leaders today. I was thinking, you know, sometimes, you know, the worship leaders get up and we love them so much, but we're kind of like, oh yeah, I know that guy likes those songs. That guy likes those songs. He goes too long. He goes too short. He sings too many times over, blah, 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 blah. And all we see, in a sense, is what happens on a natural level. I want you to say to yourself, thank God for people who are going to lead us into the presence of God. Thank God for people who are minstrels in the kingdom of God who are going to sing the song of the Lord and remind us of who God is. And I love that worship set this morning that they led us in, reminding us of the greatness of God. That was spiritual ministry. That was not just like a song service around a campfire. That was a stirring, an impartation. That was the people of God, in a sense, being refreshed in the Spirit of God. You know, we get so familiar with each other. I can tell, you know, I can just close my eyes and I know where everybody's sitting here. You know, we all sit in the same place. You know, it wasn't too long ago. I had one of the churches where somebody was really upset because a new person sat in their chair. You know, that's how familiar we get one another and our surroundings. I'm telling you something. Be glad somebody sat in your chair and they're new. Hallelujah. May every week a new person come in and sit in your chair. That's a good thing. There's something spiritual going on, but sometimes because we become so familiar with our surroundings, we forget to see it. We're not seeing it. You know, Paul says, he says, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even we regard Christ that way, but we don't anymore. Think about it. Isn't that the carpenter's son? That's Joe's kid. You know what it says in Matthew, where they said that? Isn't that the carpenter's son? They rejected him. All they saw was the kid who grew up in their neighborhood. They didn't see what was really happening. They saw a man, and there was a man to be seen. He was natural. He was flesh and blood, just like you and me. But there was so much more. All they saw was the carpenter's son. They didn't see what was really there to be seen. You've got to love when John the Baptist, as an adult in ministry, is introduced with Jesus to Jesus. Jesus comes onto the scene. How's he going to greet Jesus? This is his cousin. Hey, cuz. Yo, it's been a long time. How are you folks? That's not what he said. You know what he said? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He didn't just see the natural. He didn't just see the man. He saw the anointing, the plan and purpose of God through the ages, expressed in the person of Christ Jesus, and he declared that. He wasn't, in a sense, locked into the simple, natural view of things. He saw something more. And so Paul says here, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh anymore. Even though we regarded Christ that way, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want you to picture for a moment, adding to the love feast that we have as a fellowship, adding words to remind the people around you of who they are in Christ. Brother, it's good to see you. How you been? How's your car? How's your dog? How's your whatever? In other words, we conduct life on planet Earth. We do that stuff. But then to say, it's good to see you. What you doing with that call of God on your life? Are you shaking up the prison real good? I'm telling you, the devil's afraid because you show up there every day. And you know what? Bob needs to hear that. He needs to be reminded. You two brothers, I was looking at you today and thinking to myself, boy, the devil's going to be real sad that you're here in northern New York, because the call of God is upon you. You are spiritual people. You are part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God's hand is upon you. Imagine we see the natural, yes, we love one another, we're endeared to one another in a natural way. We love some of the nuances, the quirkiness, the uniqueness of one another and all that. But imagine we also can see the call of God and remind one another and cement one another into the plan and purpose of God. When that preacher walks into the building and you say to him, brother, you got a word for us today? I'm praying for you. Thank you for preaching. And don't cut it short because there's an NFL game. We need the word of God. You give us everything you got today. In other words, you recognize there's a spiritual activity of God in the midst of the people of God. Now, the problem of simply seeing the natural can happen in any community of believers. I think it probably happens very easily in a smaller church. You know, bigger church, you know, you've got the big stage. That That gives you a sense of wow right there, you know. And the, you know, the lights, and I've even gone to places where they have fog machines, and you're kind of like, well, it's not the Shekinah glory, but it's close, you know. And it's just, you know, it's just like, you know, it's meant to give you this sense of bigness. Let me tell you something. The bigness has nothing to do with lights, stages, fancy suits, jewelry, or anything like that. It has to do with the fact that we are a new creation. We've been translated. Amen. We're not the same thing. So whether it's a church of 50,000 or whether it's a church of 50, and whether there's 300 people that come to the altar every week to get saved, or whether you see three people trickle in occasionally, I'm telling you something. We are the people of God. And we need to understand that. And here's the thing. I forget that. You can have a ministry to me, and I can have a ministry to you, of reminding one another of who we are in Christ. I forget. I leak. You know, tell me on January 1st I'm called of God. I need to hear it again. I need to hear it. You know what it is? It's kind of like a husband and wife. You know, you heard the story about the couple, they celebrating their 50th anniversary. And, you know, they've had a good marriage, 50 years, and the wife, you know, husband and wife sitting there, and happy anniversary to each other. And the wife says, you know, dear, I just, 50 years now, I was wondering, there's one thing I'd really like. And he says, what's that? She says, well, I was just hoping you'd tell me you love me. And he says, you know, told you I loved you when we got married. If it changes, I'll let you know. Wrong answer. You bet. Ain't going to be another 50 years. Wrong answer is right. She needs to know, doesn't she? She needs to know. She needs to know. She's loved. You remind her. You tell her. And she reminds him. It goes both ways. But the idea is we forget. A lot of the scriptures are actually written to do what? To remember, to remind us of things. You know, Peter even said so much. I share these things to stir you up to remembrance. I need to be reminded. Call of God's on me. I'm not just a guy who happens to, you know, instead of working a real job, be a pastor. There's more to it, right? There's more to it. There's an anointing of God to preach the word, to touch lives. I need to be reminded of that. You cement me in when you remind me. When you say, brother, I'm praying for you. And you get on your knees. You get on, you know, you say the same thing to the worship leaders, Sunday school teachers, the greeters. You know, you walk in, I don't know if you have a greeter team here or not, but you know, just say, hey, take your place. There's a call of God upon you. You have a part in the body of Christ. You are valuable here. The hand of God is upon you. The reality is this, we go through life on planet Earth, and we actually, it's very easy to not feel like part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a very special people. You know, we've got cars that break down. We have garbage that needs to be brought out. We have, you know, all kinds of problems. The dog needs to go to the veterinarian, and on and on and on and on and on. And life can feel just very natural. We need to remember there's something profound that God is doing in the church and through the church, touching the nations. And we can take a role in reminding one another of who we are in Christ. We are more than conquerors. We are a people that he has chosen. You have an anointing. You have a place in God. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning, Paul gives a great, I'll call it the great divide. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, if you're here today and you've never come to Christ, you've never given your life to Christ, if you've never, in a sense, experienced that yieldedness to him, you can have everything I'm talking about, but it begins with you giving your life to Jesus. Don't delay any further. Church is not about people who are simply learning religious things. The body of Christ is a holy convocation of people who have yielded themselves to Christ and upon whom the Spirit of God dwells in a profound and unique way. And that begins when you're born again. If you're not born again, I want to encourage you, give your life to Christ before we're done here today, because that's really where it all begins. If you're not sure, then you pray a prayer today. Jesus, I ask you to be my Savior. I want you to come in, forgive me, cleanse me, and put your Spirit inside of me, because I don't want to just go to church. You know, as a pastor, as a church planter, I have no interest in churchgoers. Shock statement. What I mean is, that's not what I'm all about. Coming to church, having a lot of people in a building, does not mean we have seen the ministry extended one iota. It's when people give their lives to Christ, when they are translated from death to life, when they become new creations. That is the purpose of the gospel. It's not simply to fill buildings. There are plenty of organizations that are filling buildings. There are social clubs filling buildings. There are educational groups filling buildings. There are all kinds of groups filling buildings. We're not called to fill buildings. We're called to preach a gospel that changes lives, that transforms people from death into life. And it is powerful. It's magnificent. And guess what? As I said before, we're not plan B, C, or D. We're plan A. You and I are plan A, God's plan for this hour on planet Earth. You're God's plan A for this region. God did not forget Southern St. Lawrence County. Isn't that good? He so loved not only the world, but the people up here. By the way, I want to commend you for coming to church today. It was so cold, I had second thoughts about it. If I wasn't committed to preach, I was like, why? It's too cold. What am I doing up here? I don't know if I can, this is just crazy. I want to commend you. Keep it up. Keep the gatherings. Why? Because we need to fill buildings? No. You and I get fed. We get nourished. We get just charged in the Holy Spirit. We get reminded of who we are. Again, I love the choruses today. They remind us of who God is, of a God that we can rush to, and who we are in Christ. There was one of the choruses. It was just a tremendous confessions chorus. We're more than conquerors. Fantastic. Saints, I want you to picture a culture, church culture, where in addition to the tender love we have with one another, because we know each other, we get to walk with each other, where we are reminding one another of the hand of God upon our lives, where we are stirring one another up in the gifts of God upon our lives. And some of you might say, well, I don't know what gifts I have. I'm telling you, if the Holy Spirit's in you, you are like an arsenal waiting to be released on planet Earth. You really are. You really are. And you'll discover it along the way, but you start with worship. That's everyone's ministry. That's not just a few people up front. That's everyone's ministry. The Father's looking for worshipers. Lord, if I can't do anything else, I can worship you for all eternity. I'm going to start there. You start in worship. You start in just encouraging and serving. And suddenly, as you do those things, the particulars of your gift will start to find shape. They'll start to find expression. You'll find out maybe you're an administrator. Maybe you're a preacher. Maybe you're a teacher. You'll find the particulars, but you begin with the generals that apply to us all. I'm called to worship. I'm called to serve. I can praise Jesus. I can push a broom. I can shout to God with a voice of triumph. I can open the door for people who are coming into the building and welcome them. I can do those things, and I'll do it unto Jesus, and I am an arsenal in the Holy Ghost waiting to be released on planet Earth. And you know what? The devil's going to be sorry that I was ever up here. I'm telling you, that's true. That's true. You know, there's one time when I won't get into that. That's too many bunny trails. I have to keep going. I'm going to give you something now. And Pastor Mike, you can follow up on this. I know you're in the middle of a series, or at least we're going to start one on disciplines of the Christian life. What I'm sharing with you, in some ways, falls under the general banner of a teaching we call confessions. Confessions means this. Sometimes we think confessing sin. That's not what the word homologeo in the Greek New Testament really means. Directly, what it really means is to say the same thing. A confession means I'm going to say the same thing that God says. If God says that this man is a new creation, I'm going to say, Bob, you're a new creation. And I'm not going to just look at you as natural. Same with all of you. In other words, I'm going to say the same thing God says. I'm going to say the same things he says about me, but I'm also challenging you today to say the same things he says about the people around you. To begin with your mouth, to begin to, in a sense, agree with God, the church is a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I love Revelation chapter 1. It says this about him and about us. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. What a marvelous declaration of the greatness of our God, his mercy, the one who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. But it's also a declaration of what he has done in our lives. He made us kings and priests unto God. You are in the midst of a royal priesthood. You are in the midst of God's own treasured people. And we begin to confess that. And instead of simply seeing the natural, you know, we start to see, oh God, you're at work. God, you're at work. God, you're at work. Stir up gifts in our midst. Stir up the people of God. Stir up, stir up, stir up. So this is a teaching about confessions. I'm going to hand something out. One side is from Freedom in Christ Ministries, Neil Anderson, and it's Biblical Confessions. You'll understand what it means in a moment, but I adapted it slightly on the side B. I call it side B for our confessions to one another. And so could I have you brothers help me pass these out? I think there's probably enough for just about everybody to take one home. So let's look at side A for a second. We'll just kind of feast on declarations from the Word of God regarding who we are. You can see three main areas. I'm accepted, I'm secure, and I'm significant. I want to encourage you, use this. By the way, if you don't have much of a prayer life, something like this is a great place to start praying. And I'll explain what I mean in a moment. John 1:12, I am God's child. John 15, I am Christ's friend. Romans 5, I've been justified. Justified means before God, it's just as if I'd never sinned. I am united with the Lord. I am bought with a price. I belong to God. I'm a member of Christ's body. I'm a saint. I've been adopted as God's child. I have access to God through the Holy Spirit. I have been redeemed and forgiven. I am complete in Christ. Now I want you to picture yourself getting up in the morning. I don't know how you wake up. Some of you wake up and, you know, you're just great morning people, right? You're alive, you're alert, you're vibrant. You know, it's kind of like, good morning, Lord. Some of you aren't that way. For you, it's like, oh, good Lord, it's morning. Yeah. I want you to picture for a moment, you've been beat down by life. You're feeling like failure. Stuff's being thrown at you. You know, you're behind on the bills. You didn't do well at work. You know, you're kind of striking out with, raising the kids and on and on and on. And there are challenges, there are troubles. But I want you to picture for a moment your prayer time where you begin like this. Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that I am your child. I want to thank you that I am Christ's friend. I want to thank you that I've been justified. I want to thank you that I'm united with you. I want to thank you that I've been bought with a price and I belong to you. I want to thank you that I'm a member of the body of Christ. I want to thank you that I'm a saint. I want to thank you that I've been adopted as God's child. In other words, I want you to see that these declarations are biblical declarations. The problem is we forget that they're true, or maybe we never knew they were true. And life beats us down, and all we hear is the accusations of the enemy and the condemnation of just the things we failed at. And all we hear is, you're a bad father, you're a bad mother, you're a bad husband, you're a bad wife, you're a bad worker, you're a bad citizen, you're a bad, 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 bad. And what does that do? It just knocks you down, and all you think is, I'm worthless. Why should I go on living? And that depression and discouragement just circles around to more fruitlessness. And what we have to recognize is, you know what, I'm going to stop listening to lies. I do have problems. I do have failure. I need to confess my sins. I will do that. I'll humble myself before God. But at the heart of who I am a new creation. In spite of my weaknesses, in spite of the many frailties in my life, I belong to Him, and I've been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And the mark of my authentic citizenship is not my perfection. It's Him. It's Him and who I am in Him. So you picture that. Go on to the next section. I am free forever from condemnation. I'm assured all things work together for good to me. I'm free from any charge against me. Again, you can study the scriptures on these. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I'm established, anointed, sealed by God. I'm hidden with Christ in God. I'm confident that the good work God has begun in me will be perfected. You can just feast on any one of these, and it's like, ooh, I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that. How many times have you ever thought to yourself, will I ever change? Will I ever get this right? You need to know that the good work He's begun in you, He will work until completion. Oh, that's word of God. And something happens when we homologeo, homo means the same, logeo word, say the same thing that God says. It's kind of like the inner man says, now you're talking. Now you're talking. When you're agreeing with the negative stuff that comes in, that just from the enemy just to beat you down, you get discouraged, but suddenly you start speaking what God says, and it's like the inner man says, now I've got some oxygen. I'm coming alive again. Go on to the I'm significant. I'm not significant because I'm such a great person, but I'm significant because I am salt and light of the earth. I'm a branch of the true vine, a channel of His life. I've been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. I'm a personal witness of Christ. I am God's temple. I'm a minister of reconciliation for God. I'm God's co-worker. I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. I'm God's workmanship. I may approach God with freedom and confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want you to picture yourself going through that for a little while and then go to work. And then you're ready. You're ready. You're ready. Devil, you're going to be sorry. I showed up for work today because there's a man of God on the scene. There's a woman of God who just showed up, and it's going to be different. The world is going to be a different place because the people of God walked on this planet, and I'm part of them. And suddenly you're realizing who you are. And there's an authority that doesn't come because you're just such a good this or a good this or a good this. It's because of who you are in Christ. And everything gets transformed. You know what? I'm not a perfect mom, but I'm anointed. I'm anointed. I'm gonna raise these kids the best I can. I'm gonna trust God. And you know what? I love what my wife did with our kids. We had 9 kids. What a blessing we had. And you know what my wife always saw it as? It was our missionary training school. That's what our home was. It was our place for forging instruments for God's purposes. We didn't just raise kids. We didn't just make sure that knew the reading, writing, arithmetic, and maybe college if they wanted that. We were looking at them all the time saying, you know what? We're raising the people of God. And we're changing diapers for future preachers and worship leaders. And you know what today? They are. Today they are. And we had to get that vision of what we're doing because it has purpose, it has significance in Christ. And something happens in you. Now flip to side B, because I adapted it for this gathering today. I've never shared this before. The message you're hearing today, I've never shared. I want to urge you as a church culture, don't only take side A for yourself because you need it. Make that part of your prayer time. By the way, I have some confession sheets like this one, only longer. And sometimes I will, in my quiet time, I'll just read through the confession sheets. Because I need to be reminded of who I am in Christ. I get so discouraged sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, oh, didn't preach that message right. I went too long again. And oh, you know, just didn't say it right. I used the wrong illustration and on and on. And you know when preachers like to quit? Monday morning. That's when they turn in their resignations. I can't do this. I need to remind myself. So I do side A stuff a lot. But I want to encourage you on side B. I want you to see yourself as having a valuable part of coming into this community of believers and saying, brother, sister, you are a child of God, and I'm glad you're here. You are Christ's friend. Did you know that? You are Christ's friend. He likes you. He wants to hang out with you. You have been justified. You know what that means? Before God, you stand just as if you'd never sinned. That pure. You are united with the Lord. You are part of Him. He's like that with you. He doesn't disown you. When you come along, He doesn't say to His friends, oh, I don't know Him. None of that. He actually says, that's mine. He wants to be with you. You're bought with a price. You belong to God. I want you to picture yourself for a moment saying to one another the Word of God. Saying to one another, reminding one another of the place we have in Christ, the call we have in Christ, the purpose we have in Christ, the mission we have in Christ, and just encouraging one another in it. I want you to know something. You feel oftentimes beat down and you forget all this stuff. It's true for everybody around you. It's true for everybody around you. You know, I used to say to my, in kind of prayer, preparing for meetings, I'd say, Lord, is there going to be anybody in the church today who's discouraged? Felt like the Lord never answered, yes. Because the answer was, you think? You think? It's a given. It's a given. I come into a group of people this size, and I know that you are at any level of discouragement, being beat down by hell. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I know that. He's been after you all week. All week. He's been after you, trying to get you to quit. He's been after you all week. It's a miracle of God that you're here. I mean, he's been after you all week. And you know what I want to do? I want to lift your hands up. I want to remind you, God's got a plan for you. It's so good that you're walking with God. It's so good that you've given your life to Him. I know it's not perfect. I know you're struggling and all that stuff. But I want you to know, keep at it, brother. Keep at it, sister. Let me pray for you. I want to lay hands on you right now because the gift of God is in you. And I want to just pray a stirring up of that thing. Picture yourself ministering to one another like that. Going on to the next couple of sections. You got the idea. So here's what I want to do in closing. I want you to just picture, first of all, starting with those who are functioning in areas of gifts in the body, visible gifts in the body. Some have more prominent gifts, some have less visible gifts. I want you to be an encourager to those people who are being used by God in prominent ways. There's a vulnerability that they feel. The preachers, there's a vulnerability. You know, they're not always going to hit the ball out of the park, right? It's not always going to be a grand slam home run. But you know what? When someone sows the word of God, the power isn't in the preacher's technique. You know where the power is? It's in the seed. It's in the seed. You know, he just doesn't preach like the guy on TV. I'm not sure I'm going to go. I'm telling you, there's something that happens when you're sitting and the Word of God is preached. Even though he might not be the most fascinating preacher. Well, Pastor, it was good, but you know, you could be a little funnier. You know, that second illustration, you didn't really need to share that one. I think you made the point already. You know, brother, keep sowing the Word. Keep sowing the seed of the Word of God. We need the Word of God. And you know what? I'm going to pray the anointing on you. I'm going to pray for you because you've got a calling in God. You keep it up. Worship leaders, thank you. Thank you for coming in early and tuning your guitars. Tune them a little better next time. Tune your guitars. But lead us in the presence of God. Lead us in the presence of God. We need that. We need to feast in His presence. Thank you for your part in the ministry. Encouraging those people who are functioning gifts. And then the people who may not feel like they have a prominent gift, they have an anointing and a calling, and simply their presence in the fellowship is a part of the blessing of God. Thank you for being here. How can I pray for you? Thank you for taking your part. Thank you for your prayers, for your giving, for your encouragement. Thank you for who you are in Christ. Take your place in God. And then, in a sense, commission one another to go out into the highways and byways. Some of the real ministry goes on right here, but some of it begins when you walk through those doors. Because you are just being released and unleashed on planet Earth. You know, I would like to think that Southern St. Lawrence County is going to be a different place 7 days from now. Because the people of God took their place in God. And when we share testimonies, it's not simply that something happened. God moved. God moved. God did something through the church. His anointed people. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation of very, very special people to God. I commend you today to the grace of God. I encourage you, take your place as the people of God in the purposes of God. Would you stand right now? I want to pray for you. I want to pray a prayer of commissioning. Father, I thank you. I thank you so much for what we have in Christ. It's not a factor of how smart we are, how talented we are in certain areas, how anything like that. We're weak, we're frail, but we have a treasure in this earthen vessel, and it's amazing. And Lord, I pray for a stirring up today. I pray for a stirring up individually, but I also pray for a stirring in the culture of the community. Father, I pray that you would stir us up to see, to regard no one simply according to the flesh, to not simply look at one another and say, isn't that the carpenter's son? But to look at one another and say, that's a man of God. That's a woman of God. That's one upon whom the Spirit of God dwells and whom God wants to use, God wants to flow through. Would you lift your hands to the Lord right now? If you've never opened your heart to Christ, I want to encourage you to do that. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Make the jump right now. Make the jump right now. Make the jump right now. Christianity is not simply about a new set of beliefs or a new set of morals. It's about a transformation that is worked in us by the Spirit of God. If you've never opened your heart to Christ, pray a simple prayer, a prayer of hunger, your own prayer of desperation, Lord, save me. Lord, fill me. And I'm telling you, He will answer that prayer. He will meet you. Make it clear today. Make it clear today. Tell the Lord you want Him. Then later today, tell somebody you prayed that prayer. Father, I thank you today for a company of people transformed, translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your own dear Son. Thank you for a people who are now part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God, I thank you for that. And I pray for a stirring of the gifts of God in people this week. Lord, I pray that they would take their place praying, they would take their place in serving, they would take their place as they go to the highways and the byways, to the workplaces, to the communities, to the schools. I pray, oh God, that the world would be different because a company of people was unleashed on planet Earth under the anointing of the Spirit of God, and people's lives would be affected because of it. Father, I thank you. Strengthen the body today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.